This is CliffCentral.com.
Alright, beautiful. I love this song. It still makes me smile. It's Frank Ocean with Slide and Migos. You know about them, Sia? That's right. That's right.
That sounds
okay. All right, you beautiful people. I hope you're ready for a Friday. It's coming at you whether you want it or not.
Who can ever say that they are not ready for Friday?
I know. I know people go, well, I've got so much work. I'm going to have to work in late on a Friday night.
Of mental
like,
issues.
Well, don't, because you can't figure out your life and you can't prioritize properly, don't bring the rest of us down. We're enjoying our Friday, right?
Mm.
I hate those people who can't figure out their lives and they try to sound really busy or important.
Don't need the negativity in your life. Drink a glass of wine.
Well, yes. I hope you're planning an exciting weekend. You got some fun things happening.
Yeah, I'm going away.
Where are you going, Ben?
Well, couples retreat. Me, Daniela, and two other couples.
Oh, no.
What a step up socially, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be a couples thing?
Yeah, we're going away with two other couples.
You know these couples?
Very well.
You like them?
Yeah, we do. Okay, we do. Good. I mean, it takes a lot for us to commit to a dinner, let alone a weekend away. So it shows how much we like these people.
That's very good.
When you said couples retreat, I thought it was one of those like counseling camp situations.
No, just couples therapy. For the first time. I mean,
Or it's a swingers club.
Nah. I think you only really want to be a part of a swingers club if you're not that into your wife or girlfriend.
Probably. Look, I mean, there are people who say they can pull it off. I don't know. I've never seen it successfully executed in an example where I had knowledge of these people. But there are some swingers who say they can do it. I don't know. Let's not go down that road.
No.
Got lots to do this morning. All right, when we come back in a second, Bob Larson is a priest in America. He's a pastor, and he exorcises demons. And he's got this woman who he pulls the demons out of. You've got to hear and you've got to understand the background of this story before I play the sound for you. But my God, this is special. And then I'll tell you. And you know, a lot of people want to hear the truth this morning. They don't want to hear bullshit. So only half of your friends actually like you.
Yeah, sounds fair.
I'll tell you the truth about that. That's coming up as well. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. It's 8 minutes after 7. Get your day off to a rocking start this morning.
By now, every one of us has seen it practically that blacks cannot rule themselves.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Give them guns and they will kill each other. Let us all accept that the black man is the symbol of mental inferiority, laziness.
Laziness is a trait in blacks. It really is. I believe that.
We need to build a wall. And it has to be built quickly.
That is all that the word apartheid means.
If the words of apartheid Prime Minister Dr. H.F. Verwoerd and President of the United States Donald J. Trump have taught us anything, it's that there's never been a better time to learn from the mistakes of our past. Start by visiting the Apartheid Museum today.
All right. Before we get to the story, a couple of messages that have come through. Gareth, I'm concerned that you could be constipated and it's causing your rage. Try Dulcolax. Emma Stone is from Arizona. Did you know that? Hopefully that'll help put you in a better mood. It's doubtful. Someone wants to know where
it's
my...
doubtful.
I'm actually in a really good mood. You know, sometimes when I get passionate and angry about things from an opinion point of view, it's because I'm in a good mood. Huh? I mean, didn't you hear me shouting and screaming yesterday?
Oh my, what was going on? I was in the other production booth. We have two studios. I was in the other studio, which should be soundproof, and working from there. And your office is on the other side of the building. I heard you like have two screaming fits in the afternoon.
But I wasn't even screaming. I was laughing. Yeah, I was laughing and carrying on. And people misunderstand. They mistake that for me being angry. Not angry. I'm really not angry.
Jeez.
Gareth,
this weekend
will
do you some good.
I'm looking forward to it. Are your headphones manufactured in South Africa? They are. The
no.
Sony.
No, I think they're talking about headphones. Unwired.
Cliff Central Unwired. They're manufactured in China.
China.
Like everything you have in your house is manufactured in China.
It's that message like someone's staring at him.
Yeah. Well, because it said headphones, not earphones.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I'm just assuming.
All right. So, Bob Larson is he's an exorcist and a pastor. And there's this woman who comes up to him and they film these exorcisms of his. And she is a pretty frightening looking woman.
Mm.
She looks like Roseanne with less money.
Roseanne Barr.
She kind of looks like Ronda Rousey's mother The reason Ronda Rousey is a fighter.
Yeah, there we go. Good, thank you, Ben. I knew your description would be better than mine. Ben's very good at this. She looks like she's eaten a lot of melted cheese in her life.
Yeah. A lot of her food's been fast, unlike her.
All right, so here it is. Let's listen to Bob exorcising the demon from this woman. Right, we need sound on this. Here.
Hi, Brenda. Do you have children?
I have 3 children, 10 grandchildren.
Oh, 10 grandchildren. How old are you?
I'm 50.
I want you to say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I break every curse.
I break every curse.
Let's open the door to demons.
Let's open the door to demons.
Curse is broken.
That curse is broken.
By the way, at this point, her whole facial expression changes and she goes, broken. And shit, the screen goes red. It's great entertainment. Yeah. That's her. She's growling into the microphone.
No, no, no.
That's her laughing.
I bind all the spirits of the kingdom of Mammon and Jezebel as one. You usually speak for Mammon, Jezebel, so get out!
All right, he says to her, you used to speak for Mammon, Jezebel, and then he like touches the Bible to her and she goes, ah, that was that sound you just heard. And then the demon's supposed to come out of her, right?
Usually speak for Mammon, Jezebel, so get
out! And here I'm watching this and I'm thinking, if Harvey Weinstein had just said he was an exorcist, he could have touched women inappropriately and he would have got away with it.
Okay.
He made a good point.
No, seriously, because this guy's touching this. Look, she's not really that pretty, but... You know, if Taylor Swift came up to you and she said, I'm possessed by demons, you'd be allowed to do all kinds of things to her that outside of demon possession would be thought unconscionable. Just saying. So here she is. Now she's screaming and shouting. The demon's coming out of her, right?
What do you want?
And he's just putting the cross in front of her if you're worried about her health. Now the demon comes and it's talking directly to Bob Larson, right?
Terrific editing work.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
What do you think you're doing here?
I want to see you for your name!
You again, buddy?
You're about to be cast to hell.
I don't think so.
All right, it's worth mentioning.
All right, can I light a candle favorite for video the bad on YouTube. Juju in this
it's
studio?
Such a great video. All right, Sia, do you have questions?
I have several.
All right, go ahead.
Who is this pastor guy?
Bob Larson. He's a professional exorcist. He exorcises demons.
How does he get? How does he get to that point? So he just...
Well, it's a specialized area of hocus pocus. I mean, sorry, religion. And what you do is you study how to get... Have you ever seen a magician?
Sure, let's go with it.
All right, anyway, so yeah, he's a specialist who takes demons out of people. Some people are possessed by demons, if you believe the literature, and that's why they do the things.
And then
do.
I just wonder how she got about to identifying that she's possessed by a demon.
I'll tell you how, because her poor, long-suffering husband is standing behind her, and he's not sure whether to take this seriously or not. Maybe he's just desperate, and it's the last resort. He doesn't know what else to do with her because he's standing behind her, and he's kind of very uncomfortable throughout the video. And he wants to help, but he doesn't know how he can help.
Yeah, he's got that look on his face when a Labrador's done something wrong and the owner's shouting at him. The Labrador looks like, I'm just going to grin this one through a bit. The exact same facial expression.
Yeah.
That is just weird.
You saw her, though. Do you think she was possessed by demons?
No, I think she gets possessed by Black Friday and drive-thrus. There's always a common thread to these people. You'll never see someone who's successful or wealthy being possessed by a devil. No, they're too busy working. They've got shit to do. You won't see a productive single mother with kids. Oh, I've got to have an exorcism today. No. They've got to worry about picking kids up from school. They've got to worry about, like, all kinds of things. This woman's got to worry about, like, her next talk show that she's going to go try get onto. Like, it's just, there's always this common thread with this.
All right, here's a guy. He looks like a woodsman. He looks like the kind of guy who probably chops down trees and stuff. He's got long hair. He's got a beard. He's wearing glasses.
Okay.
And he is possessed by a demon. Now Bob Larson's going to get the demon out of him. Those sounds.
What's that sound?
That's him. He's busy making those sounds from his mouth.
This is the victim who's.
Yeah, this is the guy who. Now he's also possessed by demons. So Bob's going to bring out the Bible and the crucifix. Okay, he's pulling pretty messed up facial expressions.
Yeah, he's worse than those.
Yeah, he's frightening to watch. I mean, it's almost like you must have had someone at the office once or twice lose their temper and then they go red in the face.
This guy's watched every season of The Walking Dead, basically.
Mm. And he's learned from the zombies, right? That's the Bible hitting him in the face. And then people in the crowd are screaming hallelujah because he falls to the ground, and then suddenly he looks like he's dazed and confused. And Bob says the demon's out of him. So everybody's won. It's great. Except the poor demon who has to go back to hell. No one ever stands up for the poor demon.
Jeez.
You know? You ever met anyone who said they were possessed?
Nope.
Ben?
I don't really hang in such circles, unfortunately.
Do you know any stories like that? If you do, you can call us. I'd love to hear it. 0861-555-189. You can WhatsApp us on 0797-482-090. I'd love to know how that works.
Say your demon details.
Someone says, this demon thing is scaring me, guys. That awkward moment when Ben pulls the Fortuna keys out of the bowl. Stephen, that's to do with the swingers weekend.
What does
you know how that works? All right, let me explain.
You never heard like swingers, car keys?
So in these big golf estates like Silver Lakes and Pretoria and Danefern here in Johannesburg, apparently there are a lot of like
don't mince your words.
Married mothers and fathers, couples. Got a bit of money, bit bored with each other and life maybe. They go to parties at each other's houses and everybody throws their keys into a bowl. And what you do is you put your hand in and grab the keys, and whoever is the owner of that car, you go home with them.
So I'm assuming there's a stereotype around fortunate drivers?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it's the four-way Land Cruiser, yeah.
Which is what sort of typical person?
White, middle class, two children.
Bored, yeah, just bored. I mean, it's we live in quite an evolved society. It goes through various different race backgrounds. I'm essentially bored.
Y'all lead very interesting lives. Let me just put that
this
out
not a,
there.
This is not my life.
It's, yeah, this is what we... like. No. Gareth and I just sit here and make up crap as we go along. This is like... okay. Like, we know people who do this. We've been around these
circles. You know people
this happens
who do
in
this?
The world.
Sure.
Stop.
Don't you... come on, Sia. You don't have stories. Where do you live under a rock?
Well, no, I just...
Sia, I bet you've been out on the town from time to time. People try to lure you back to Danfern. You seem like just the ticket on a Saturday night at 2 a.m. for some of those.
Oh, that's great.
Desperate...
oh, that's terrific.
House husbands.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now I actually feel like I'm not up to par because I haven't had that offer. No.
You have not.
Damn it, I haven't lived.
No, you haven't.
Okay, I need to fish in the bowl.
Just stick at keeping an eye on your drink.
It's very important. You got to watch your drink. And this weekend, that's good advice to everybody, right, Ben?
Always, Gareth, yes.
Make sure you don't do anything stupid. You know, hand over your car keys to anybody or take a drink from a suspicious drink. I actually, listen.
Take
on
a drink
this,
from a suspicious drink?
A suspicious person. Sorry.
There we go.
I spoke to someone the other day. She was telling me she went out somewhere and she kind of misplaced her drink. And she realized, like, she was about to take a sip from it, and she went, whoa, 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 whoa. Turns, I mean, she said that one of her friends got spiked on the same night. Apparently, this happens a lot.
I thought that trend had died down a bit. Ugh.
No, it happens a lot. You got to be careful.
But then it's, like,
people
I mean,
dodgy.
Haven't we learned and heard enough to know what the 101 is when going out? And you know, if you're going as a group, stick together. And if you're stepping out anywhere, leave your drink with a trusted friend or take it with you.
No.
Evidently, some people haven't.
No, some people haven't. And you never know. You've got to be so careful. A lot of dodgy people out there. All right, let's get into some news.
Mm-hmm.
What you got for us?
What do we want to take a look at? Well, firstly, I'm intrigued by this because in my research around the story, I've discovered that there's a ministerial handbook for ministers in South Africa.
Ministerial handbook.
Ministerial, pardon me, which is very interesting because now SA taxpayers, just word to the wise, we have coughed up over 870,000 rands for Mrs. Norma Gigaba's overseas trips recently.
How much?
870,000 rand. That's close to R1 million for her to go overseas. So this all took place while Minister Gigaba was still the finance minister. We spent that 873,366 rand, to be exact, on international travel for Malusi Gigaba's wife, Norma. This was all revealed in an answer to a written question by DA MP David Mayner, and he asked how much the total cost to the National Treasury of the specified person, which is Norma Gigaba in this case, was travel since the 1st of April 2017, and that's when the answer came
unbelievable.
Out. Oh yeah, this money was all...
So this is not someone who is out there doing work for South Africa.
No, she was not on official
duty. She's shopping and she's traveling.
Yeah. This is how they justify it. These are her travels to the United States, to Japan, to China and Singapore with her husband back in November in 2017. When she traveled to the States, she went to New York. She says, no, it was a 5th annual South Africa Tomorrow Investor Conference. And they're like, no, hold up, but you weren't on official duty there. And on just the average amount that she was allowed to spend every day was just a cool 15,000 rand. That's when they were just
what?
Like, oh yeah, a
that's
day.
her S&T is 15,000 rand a day?
A day. That's when they say, listen, Norma, go ahead and you spend to your heart's content. So the DA is currently fighting this in Parliament, saying she was not there under official duties, so they are wanting the Gigabas to pay all of this money back. But it is interesting because now I've been able to see this handbook that the ministers have in South Africa.
Oh, they've published it?
No. Yeah, this is all official.
Really?
And it states that members and their spouses are entitled to, for example, to travel first class when they are traveling for official purposes. And the cost for official journeys abroad by members and their spouses and or adult family members are for the account of the relevant department.
Okay, now let's think about this for a second. If you're a public servant, even if you're an important minister, I mean, the president has his own plane, so he does whatever he wants. It's not even first class. It's like super, super first class. It's your own private plane. If you're a minister, I don't understand why you need to go first class. I've been in business class, I've been in first class, and I've been in economy on planes. First class is just pissing away money. It really is. And anybody who's been on first class, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful. You pampered to your heart's content. You still get there at the same time as everyone else on the plane.
Yes.
Listen, there go those New Zealanders.
Yeah. Clark, clark, clark.
But business is perfectly acceptable. There's nothing wrong with business class, and it's a fraction of the price of first class. And it's a little bit more than economy, right?
Well, it's about four times economy.
Now, I'm not saying that ministers have to be treated badly, but I don't think that they need to be treated specially. These are not special people. They won a popularity contest. They are there to look after our money, not to spend it willy-nilly. They're there to make the country better. That's why everybody went crazy when they saw Jacob Zuma and Cyril Ramaphosa in the back of a normal SAA plane in economy class, right?
Yeah.
Because we appreciate the fact that they go, okay, well, whether they're spending their own money or the nation's money, they're spending it wisely.
But I see where these loopholes
but
are.
That the wife has to be treated to a first-class ticket and 15,000 rand a day spending money is an outrage to sensibility. These are not people we need. Mm-hmm. We don't need the wife. We don't need the husbands if it's a woman minister. We didn't ask for them. What you do, and this goes back to the New Zealand Prime Minister again, what you do in your family is your business and for your account. And if it gets in the way of you doing your job, we don't want you in that job anymore. We want someone who can do the job. And yes, our standards for politicians should be higher than our standards for ordinary people in the workplace because they have much bigger responsibilities. And they don't earn the money they spend.
Mm.
They spend the money we earn. Don't forget that. So when these guys come in and they behave like this with our money, it drives me crazy. You didn't earn it. You didn't sit on the construction site sweating for days. You didn't work night after night, overtime, trying to get the project in before its deadline. You didn't go to those meetings. You didn't sell things to clients. You didn't go door to door trying to make a sale.
You're just the spouse.
Not even. I'm talking about the politicians.
Oh. Now.
You just sit there and reap half the money that we've earned all year in taxes. And then you waste it on your wife or girlfriend or husband or boyfriend or whoever so that you can go traveling somewhere. And then she has the cheek to say that she was there on official business. You did nothing, honey.
Well, this for
stay
example,
at home and stay at home and our relations with Japan stay the same.
These are the loopholes, for example. So the handbook does say that it's not a requirement that the likes of VIP lounges at airports be used when traveling, but for safety purposes.
Who's trying to kill Malusi Gigaba's wife? Nobody even knows who she is.
Dot, dot, dot. For safety purposes. Dot,
if
dot,
Malusi
dot.
Gigaba's wife walked in here now, I wouldn't know who the fuck she was.
So I would like
trying to kill her.
Put it out there that definitely there was justification to say, no, she has to be in first class for safety purposes. And of course she has to stay at these hotels for safety purposes. That's just everything. Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense.
Close to R1 million that's now being spent on travel alone.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
I don't think Malusi cares. I mean, you know what? The other thing is, I when I go to sleep at night, I don't have any nastiness for these people. I don't hold on to the hatred or the anger. You know why? Because in about 4 years' time, no one's going to remember Malusi Gigaba or his wife.
Mm.
And they'll be living on, like, you know, welfare. Because they'll have spent all their money and they'll... You know, your money doesn't flow uphill. This is the unfortunate reality that people just don't get. If you're not meant to be rich, you won't be rich. There's nothing you can do to twist those pipes, make it work for you. You can't. And if you're living off other people's money, it dries up. Eventually, Malusi and his wife will end up exactly where they're meant to be, which is nowhere.
I don't mean for us to hop on the same point, but yesterday it was also announced that King Goodwill Zwelithini is now going to get more money.
He's another parasite.
His annual budget has now increased to a cool 65.8 million rand.
All right. I know Zulu people who say that they get no value out of the king. Zulu people. So the rest of us... I mean, we should have an exemption. If you're not Zulu, you shouldn't have to pay that amount of tax. You know, you'd get a 10% discount because you're not Zulu, so you don't have to pay for the king of another nation. Effectively, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pay for Queen Elizabeth II if I lived in Britain. I wouldn't. I would refuse. You shouldn't have to pay for some monarch. They have ways of... They should be sweating their assets. They should be opening the palace to let you have tours. I mean, when last did anyone have a tour of the king of the Zulu's palace? When last did they charge at King Shaka's grave? They should charge for those things.
Well, I mean, in the point of Lizzie, I mean, she could just sweat a couple of those crowns down.
Damn right. She could sweat. Yeah. She could loan out the carriages for other people to use for their weddings.
Exactly.
I love that no...
She'd turn Buckingham Palace's front lawn into a wedding venue. Oh, she'd make a killing.
Oh, I would want to get married.
Sure, of course.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like Westminster Abbey. Sure, £45,000 an hour.
Oh.
And you'd say, fine, if I can find the money, I want it.
Oh, she could sell it to all those sheiks, many Americans. People would be queuing up for...
This is... listen, guys, I don't want to be unkind. But if you aren't earning the money that you're living on, you're a parasite. Society doesn't need you. You need society. And that means you've got to shut up and take what you get. And if certain people are not willing to pay you anymore, tough titties, go out and get a job. How about that? Hmm?
Yeah, Jackie Chan's estranged daughter.
Right.
I know you're still listening.
Who are these people who wake up in the morning and go, the world owes me a living? Most of us know if you wake up with that attitude, guess what you get? Nothing. You know, who is helping children whose parents have both died? Who's helping kids who are born with terminal diseases, or who have terminal diseases even later on in their childhood? Nobody. You know why? Because the world is not fair. It's a horrible place. And I've got to tell you, I mean, I'm the most optimistic guy, and I always say that we're living through the best time ever right now as humans. We've got technology, and we've got advancement and medicine. And it's terrific. Like, it's the best time to be alive. But don't think everybody else owes you a living. They really don't, and they don't care. People don't wake up in the morning and think of you. Listen to this story. When you call someone a friend, it goes without saying that they too consider you a friend, right?
Yeah.
You like them, they like you. It's a reciprocal thing. Right, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
But a 2016 study found out this is probably only true 50% of the time.
Oh, jeez.
Only half of your perceived friendships are actually mutual, and that's a problem. So they did this at MIT. This is not an opinion thing. Mm-hmm. The study analyzed friendship ties in 84 subjects, aged 23 to 38. So we're not talking about old people here. They were all taking part in a business management class. The subjects were asked to rank how close they were with each person in the class on a scale of 0 to 5, where 0 means, I don't know this person, 3 means, a friend, and 5 means, this is one of my best friends, someone I know really well. The researchers found that while 94% of the subjects expected their feelings to be reciprocated, only 53% of them actually were. In other words, if Ben and Sia and Mabali and I did this, and I said, all right, I rank Sia as one of my best friends, Ben as a friend. I get the results back, and Ben actually thinks of me as a 2, and Sia thinks of me as a 5. So only half the time am I actually getting the result that I think I'm going to get. I think of Ben as my friend, and then Ben goes, oh, I don't really know him. You know what I mean?
See, I get that in a practical sense, though. Yeah. In a practical sense, you are a bigger friend to someone else than they are to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happens.
I wonder what the factors are.
Ask people to define friendship. Even researchers like the guy who led the study, Alex Pentland, and they give you an uncomfortable silence followed by an It wasn't always this hard. When we were kids, the concept of friendship was pretty simple. A friend is someone that you do anything for. You lend them your cool stuff like comic books and trading cards. They never break a promise, and most importantly, friends don't lie. But in adolescence, things don't stay that simple, especially when you've got social media pushing friendship as a commodity. which is pretty much the exact opposite of how you're supposed to think of friends. Treating friends like investments or commodities is the opposite of friendship, says a professor of English at Vassar College, teaches a course in literature. It's not about what someone can do for you, it's who and what the two of you become in each other's presence. You know those people, they're really good friends that you almost think the same way?
Mm-hmm.
You almost have the same subconscious thoughts. You laugh at the same things, all of that stuff. It's very hard for some people to figure this stuff out.
It's kind of heartbreaking for a lot of people too.
Well, just go through your friend list. So if you've got 100 friends on Facebook,
you really have 50 real friends.
50 of them feel that way about you. The other 50 don't give a shit about you. How hard is that to deal with? You know how many people are going to cry about that today? It's the truth, though.
But all this goes back to the definition of a friend, though. Like Sia said the other day, I want to know if I've been in trouble, I can call somebody, and if that is like a friend in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, a friend is such a loose term. It's just like a nothing kind of term.
But I get it.
It's just such a... It just means that you're not a stranger in the greater scheme of things.
No, that to me is an acquaintance.
Yeah, that's an acquaintance.
Acquaintance is a cuck word because it sounds so dreadful. You go, oh yes, we're acquaintances.
Okay, you're friendly
with someone. That's basically like saying that person's a dick. Have you ever said to someone, oh yes, we're acquaintances, and think there's going to be a positive exchange after you've called someone
that? Yeah, I've done it often because people always say they're my friend and I don't know them.
Yes, but when you say acquaintance, you actually... People will take a negative thing out.
Well, I don't.
You try to say acquaintance in life and see if there's a positive impact. Never.
I think you're right. It does have a negative kind of
dreadful word to use. So you're either friends or you're strangers.
Well, I don't use the word acquaintance, but it's, oh yeah, I chill with Ben.
So to you, it's really just a placeholder almost. Yeah. It's better than being strangers, but it's not more than that.
No, it's not more than that.
But you have very good friends.
Yeah, I've got people who are close and who I care about. Right. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Your friend to me is a very strong term, but I know just as a friendly person.
A lot of people think you're their friend.
Yes. And for a lot of people, like I know some people in my life who are...
There was a guy who came in here once and he thought Sia was like his best friend. Sia was trying to get out. He was like a cat that's about to be put in a bath. He was trying to escape. He was crawling up the walls. He couldn't wait to get away from this dude.
And do you know why we have such statistics and results? Because we are fake as well. We'll smile at someone. Yeah. Oh, let's just be nice. Okay, sure. Yeah. Let's just move on. Meanwhile,
right.
Let's just be honest and say, listen, like, I don't know you. Don't call me. Don't text me. We aren't friends.
So someone, here are a couple of messages. People are on fire this morning. My other half just walked in and said, geez, Gareth wants to charge for everything. Yeah, well, you know what? We're being charged for everything, whether you like it or not. So we may as well see that the money's going in the right places. And then someone says, morning, guys. Did you hear about Meghan Markle's half-brother who wrote to Prince Harry
about why... Yes, we didn't have time to get to this yesterday.
She wrote to Prince Harry. He wrote to Prince Harry to say that she's not right for him?
All of Meghan Markle's family is half or estranged. One of the two. Jesus. Because you always refer to Meghan's estranged half-brother.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter basically saying she's a gold digger.
Oh my God.
She's just a flaky actress. She'd be nowhere without her dad. So he was saying like the dad is bankrupt because the dad had to make all these sacrifices for her to become an actress. And that the fact that she then came good, but then she forgot about everybody who helped her get to where she was. So he's actually just saying, look, bud, you can do better than her. Call it off. It's not too late. She's not good for your family. So he's taking a different kind of route altogether.
Wow.
But every week, there's some sort of estranged family member.
This is
keeps coming with the hits.
What an unbelievable family. Are you sure they're not from New Zealand? All right. I just got a message from a friend of mine who lives in Switzerland. He said, here in Switzerland, you pay 1% less tax if you do not align with a religion. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
Kind of evolved. I do like that. And similarly, they don't have a king in Switzerland because they wouldn't put up with that shit, right? No, they wouldn't. They really wouldn't. All right, we got to get on with things because we've got a lot to do this morning and I don't want to run out of time. We've only got like about 20 minutes and then it's done for the morning. As you know, industry leader Auto Trader has joined forces with us at cliffcentral.com to bring you Auto Central, an expert motoring infotainment show. You can get behind the wheel every Monday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with the team as they gear up for all things motoring, from the more affordable to the most desirable cars, bikes, 4x4s, and more. The show aims to make everyday shopping decisions easier while putting some fun back into motoring. You can get the podcast now at cliffcentral.com. And don't forget, George Meany's popping in just now to give us a little bit of motoring news. Grab a seat, guys. Come, sit down. I don't know if you've noticed, but Aria Kelman is on a... He's messing around in Europe or something. And we've got the Urban Culture Drive, which is... they're one of our shows that does an hour in the week. And now they're also standing in for Kelman in the afternoons. And we're going to spend a bit of time getting to know these guys. And I thought, why not do it today? It's Friday. We're in a good mood. Things are busy around here. There's a lot happening. So let's put our thoughts into a big bowl and pull out a key and see who we end up with this morning. All right. Are you ready, Ben?
That analogy is just never going
to
go away.
It's great. Well, Sia seems to think it's quite exciting because every time I talk about it, his eyes light up a little bit. So this show, The Urban Culture Drive, is all about the mysterious lives of millennials and what they do because they're professionals now, how they live, what their priorities are. You know, we always talk about millennials as a generation, like they're totally different species, but they're not. And millennials get treated differently, which I think annoys them. And they get painted with this kind of, oh, all we care about is likes on social media brush, which is also not true. And I know lots of millennials. These are not unambitious or uninteresting people. In fact, many of them are way more interesting than people who come from generations before them. So Lesego Mapanga, we're familiar with. We've met Lesego many times. He's been a part of the Cliff Central family virtually from day one. But I want you to meet Candace, Craig, and Job, who are all here this morning.
Hello, hello, hello.
Candace, you are like shot out of a cannon this morning. Walked in here and you were bouncing around.
I was snapping. I was all excited.
Look at you.
I must tell you, though, Gareth, being on the other side of this is quite nerve-wracking, hey?
Why?
I mean, we're used to this. We do this every day. But like sitting across from you right now, I mean, I'm shaking. Yeah, can you tell?
He's in a bad mood today as well. He's just having a rant about everything.
Why does everybody think I'm in a bad mood? I'm really not in a bad mood. I'm actually in a fantastic mood today. This is how I operate.
Just
don't talk about your team.
I'm manic. That's all.
The first thing we had when we walked in, listening into the show, was him cursing. It's like, okay.
Sorry, Job.
What are we walking into?
Job with that very sexy voice is actually the producer.
Is it really a sexy voice?
I think it's good.
It's stunning.
Yeah. It sounds like you've either got cancer of the throat or it's sex. I'll figure it out. But it's very nice.
I don't know. I think it's a bit better when you're on this side, because when you're on that side, on the other side, there's a lot of preparation and looking at the clock and making sure that the buttons are right.
Stuff to do.
You know what I mean? And it's like the hot seat.
Not in Gareth's case.
All right, I like what you guys are doing, and obviously I've been paying attention to what you've been doing in the Urban Culture Drive.
Really, have you?
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Have. Actually.
Thank you.
We're going to give you sign an autograph. We're going to give you an autograph.
Well, you know
now.
What? It's a very energetic show. You've got great points of view. I think you guys put in a lot of work to make sure that you're not just sitting there talking shit every day. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you bring in great guests. You talk about interesting subjects, and I would say anybody who wants to try and wrap their heads around some of the big issues in society today, some of the things that young people are thinking about, they should be listening to this. They should be paying attention, because unfortunately, there aren't a lot of spaces where we can talk honestly. You know, a lot of the stuff that is in mainstream media, or even online, is what people want you to think.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of like the real stuff that you talk about with your actual friends, which we were talking about just a second ago. So how did you get into this, Craig?
Actually, it was just by mistake. Honestly, this is not my intention. I'm an academic. I'm currently pursuing my PhD in finance.
PhD in finance? Jesus. Can we just give him a round of applause?
Thank you. Thank you.
You're the most qualified person to ever sat in the studio.
Do you understand? The levels. See how lucky you are.
Gareth, in that jersey, he was always going to do something like that.
You know?
He wasn't going to come in here and say, I do graphic design.
Ironically, on my Instagram, I'm always naked. So, half naked. So.
Well, we'll talk about the more spicy side of your life, but this is fascinating. A PhD in finance. I mean, this is, you have to be so seriously dedicated to numbers and the economy and figuring out how businesses work. And how do you even have time to do this show?
I think, you know, my job is flexible. So there are a lot of, you know, perks with being an academic. I mean, you don't always have to be at work. You can always work from home. And I met Mapanga last year. We went to Tux together, but we never spoke at that time because I always thought I was cooler than him. And, you know, as time went by, we met
up. You thought you were cooler than him, but Lesego is like a former Mr. South Africa. The guy walks around, he picks up interest from men and women, no matter what he's trying to do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Don't give me that shit. You saw him first.
Yeah, I did. I did check him out at the gym, you know. And then after that, we just concocted this idea that, you know, we should actually do a radio show together. And I just thought I was going to be a researcher. But after he got exposed to Craig O'Sexy, he just was like, ah, you know what, you're in my team. I need like you.
He calls himself Craig O'Sexy, this guy.
Look that deep
level.
Interesting.
Dr. Craig O'Sexy.
Do you understand?
He's taking the game to a whole new different level.
So, Job, what about you? What's your background?
So, I'm a civil engineer by profession and by trade. Did my degree at the University of Pretoria. Worked for one of the big five construction companies. And after 3 years last year, I left.
Were you responsible for that bridge collapse at Grayson?
No, I was actually at Midupi Power Station. So I might have been responsible
for
the delays.
You're even worse.
I was for the delays.
Okay, but you're not involved in engineering at all now.
No. So last year, I left engineering in pursuit of other things. So it was more of a pursuit of purpose to find what is it that I need to do, what is it that interests me or excites me. And in that, I tried it. Number of different avenues, one of which was to start up a community radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So upon that, we reconnected with Lesego. I was like, and I approached the ideas like, nah, let's forget about the radio station for a while. Right. Let's actually do a radio show because I'm thinking of doing a radio show. So that was shortly, by then I presume he had already spoken to Craig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we started planning that thing, the whole radio show thing out. And by God's faith, you called and said, hey, Lesego.
Yeah.
We have a slot again for you. Right. Come back. And by then, we had literally, it was 2 days literally after we'd finalized the show.
I love it when these teams come together without anybody putting them together. Yeah. And clearly, you guys, organic. That's what happened. So, how did you get in here?
Okay, cool. So, I know Les also from Tux. And he just gave me a call like one Thursday afternoon. He's like, dude, yeah, I need you on like a marketing team because that's what I do for some show on Cliffs Angel. I'm like, cool. I actually want to be on it, but okay. I didn't know that I was going to be on the show at the time. So we get to the studio the next Tuesday and he's like, oh, yeah, you're going live. I'm like, what? And literally our first show, Gareth, like none of us knew.
Any warning?
Nothing. No. We got into the studio and we killed it. I think it's one of our highest rated shows.
Yeah, why not?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Well, you know what's cool about kind of hitting things here is that there's no right or wrong. The audience are going to either listen or they won't. And there's no cost. It's not like you're going to lose us an audience.
Mm. Yeah.
Because people come in and they'll listen to a particular show or they'll download a specific podcast and they don't really care what else is going on. I mean, you know, whoever listens to my show might not listen to anything else and people who listen to other stuff might not listen to me. And that's cool. That's the beauty of being being in this new media world of 2018. You know, the audience are the boss. They get to choose. If I'm boring, they're gone.
Yeah, correct.
I feel like for me, I was talking to Candace yesterday, like this platform, I don't know about the traditional commercial platform for radio, but having started on Cliff and working here, it gives a sense of freedom. Even when you plan, when I plan the show, when we conduct the show, there's a sense of freedom that you get, like a fresh of breath air. You're free to express your thoughts and where you are at without any filter or anything.
So what do you guys focus on most of the time? I tried to paraphrase that it was kind of what young people are thinking, the issues in society that we're all talking about. But what are the things that you want to keep talking about on the show? What are the things that interest you guys, that you think interests South Africans at large?
So the one thing I'd say with our show is that we're very unconventional. We have a very unconventional approach, very raw.
Okay.
So we're going to touch on topics that, you know, we generally discuss, but look, we're going to have our own different approach. So we're going to talk gay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk being top or bottom if you're gay.
Wow. Yeah.
We're going to talk being broke as shit. We're going to talk, you're a slay queen. How many guys have you been having sex with to pay your rent? That's our approach. And we're raw. And I feel like that's what people want to listen to. That's what they want to hear.
I like this.
And that's our approach. And I think it's been working for us.
You got any slay queens in yet?
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, to our show. Yeah, we're working on getting them in.
I thought you were admitting
that. But I am one. Yeah, I am one. I'm one in training. Yeah. I'm in training, frankly.
All right.
I also think that, you know, the kind of energy that all these individuals bring make the show grow organically. So we didn't really know that we're going to be interviewing a lot of artists, a lot of celebrities. It just happened organically. You all know, right. We didn't know that there was going to be hashtag Smash or Mary or hashtag Craig or Sexy, Gay Talk or whatever the case might be. It just happened organically. So I think, as you know, the more productive we become, the more experience we get, the more we just grow as, you know, a radio show.
What are the things, you've maybe touched on one or two of these already, but what are the things that you think people are not talking about that we need to start getting into? That maybe people only talk about in private that we need to start discussing publicly.
There was a show we did on racism. We had a guy in here from Limpopo. During the H&M saga experience, he actually went and challenged H&M and his account on, Instagram got deactivated. 40-something thousand followers, or was it 20-something thousand followers?
Yeah, but when you say challenge him, what did he do? Threaten them?
Yeah, like he's an activist.
Yeah,
he's
a political activist.
He's a political activist, and he was out there.
If you're only an activist on Instagram and you get banned from Instagram, you're no longer an activist.
but I think for him, he was just very raw. And he was a purist.
He's from Limpopo. I mean, what do you expect?
And his reach was so
big. They still believe in witches.
So chances are, so we had him on the show speaking about his experience.
He's lucky he came on your show. That's the only place he's ever going to have an audience again.
Yeah.
You'll never hear from him.
He did, because I know he tried to recover his following, and it's still on like 200. I mean, it's rough.
The other time, we had a gay pastor, gay reverend.
Yes. Wow. I mean,
those are rare.
Yeah, those are
great. You don't find a lot of those.
Who has a gay church? Yeah. Which focuses on that. So that was also interesting. And yesterday we were just speaking about the conversation of
Kanye West
issues about slavery. Okay.
What do you guys think of Kanye? Give me your take on Kanye West.
That's my take. What I told the guys yesterday is I agree with the guy.
What?
Yeah. I agree with the guy. In
we
a sense
almost
of,
like four.
We almost fell off our chairs.
I told the guys, let's remove emotions and let's look at rationale, right? We are being told that anything that we have no choice or control on people imposing things on us,
right?
Any inflicting pain or whatever, we have no choice against that. But we definitely do have a choice against how we react or respond towards that, those things. Look, the choice might not be easy. I'm not saying the choice is easy. I'm not in any way nullifying the struggles of the previous
generations.
I'm not in any way taking anything from that.
Okay.
It was a difficult choice, but it was a choice nonetheless. And that's what I feel the guy was saying. Let me put it in another perspective. For the mere fact that we were able to overcome slavery or overthrow or nullify it and apartheid, it goes to show that it was a choice. There were people who were conscious enough and saying, I am not going to succumb to this. Because if it was not a choice, all of us would have been slaves. And all of us would have not came out of slavery. And so for the mere fact that there was resistance, it shows that some were saying, I am going to stand against it. Some are not going
to
stand
against
it.
You're making sense to me. I hate to say it. Because when I saw what Kanye West said, my immediate reaction was, like, this guy just hasn't read enough history books.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you're a PhD in finance. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people who throw around opinions, especially in the Kardashian family, you think, you know, shut up, read a book.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I do, in a way, disagree with the way that he put it out there. You know, I felt like there could have been more thought onto that tweet, you know, because it really evoked a lot of emotion. I do understand when Job explained it to me, I do understand his perspective, but I felt like for such a public figure to put something like that out there could have been either a PR stunt or he was high, between the two.
Hey, sometimes they both go together.
Yeah, I agree. I just think he's a fame whore.
Yeah.
The end.
But that doesn't mean that we must throw out his opinion with the bathwater. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who say dumb stuff. And that's one of the things about being alive now is that you get to see a lot of dumb stuff online, right?
Yeah.
Plenty of it. And everyone has an opinion and everyone has a Twitter account or an Instagram. And therefore, they've got an access now to a community that they would never have had before. We would have driven past these people on the street and ignored them.
I don't know anything about
it. We would have said they're mentally ill. They must carry on screaming on the street corner. But now we have to engage with these thoughts and ideas, and maybe it's good to be challenged. I don't know about Kanye. Like, part of me says he's the bravest man in the world because he's actually going against
the norm.
Well, not only the norm, but he's going against his own community in some ways, which is always the bravest thing to do. And I always think that people who do that deserve at least a good hearing.
Some sort of accolade.
But I think to say that people chose to be slaves, I don't know if that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But if he is saying that, I think that's
different.
I think that's really insensitive and ahistorical.
Yes.
And he's not helping the situation. If he's trying to get people talking about free thought, then he's going about it the wrong way.
That I fully agree. Hence, I'm saying the manner in which Craig said, the way in which he went about it, it's off.
So this is the kind of stuff you guys will talk about on the show.
All sorts.
Yeah.
I love it.
We can go from such a serious topic to being who's your Zeddy.
Yeah. And we can go from like factual opinion to like watered down me just saying, oh, okay, cool. What
When am I getting
which is great. Day? I love the range of thinking that we
because
have on our show.
Isn't that what happens when you're with your friends?
Exactly. Yes. Everyone has different opinions.
One or two of you get into a serious conversation about something, everybody thinks you're arguing, but you're actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
And then one person will come past like, and say, look, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Right. I got you.
And there's a game. Kendis does Smash or Marry,
which is really taken.
I like that. Let's play it now. Give me some examples.
Right.
So Smash or Marry. Okay, so I'm going to play around. Okay, cool. So we'll start
you
with
play,
you.
Like, isn't it F, Marry, Kill? Like you have three.
But they don't want
no,
the kill.
We've changed it.
Oh, you see you softcore millennials.
Okay, cool.
We
so
chop out the kill.
Because the kill is like a
easy escape. Yeah, easy escape.
Get out of jail card.
Oh, I see what
so
you mean.
So we want you to commit.
The right, game is also gender fluid, which makes it a lot
go on,
more
give me
spice.
Two names.
Okay, so Gareth, Kanye West.
Or?
Smash or Marry. No, you need to say.
Oh, I have to choose to smash or marry.
Are you going
to
be top or bottom?
Jesus.
Yes. You see?
Oh, man. I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to take your question seriously.
You only have 5 seconds, by the way.
You've got to marry Kanye because he's got tons of cash, right?
Yeah, true.
And okay.
Plus... Look, does marry include smashing?
Oh, of course.
Of course. So you're
the whole shebang. It's just marry just suggests that you'll actually be able to deal with this person long term.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I can't deal with him long term.
So you'll just smash him? So top or bottom?
Do I do top or bottom with Kanye? Sia, give me some advice. What is it, Sia?
He's now getting chunky, so you don't want all of that on top of you.
All right,
finished.
So, klar.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So you don't. Okay. But you have to just make a call. Make a call.
Mm.
So you see that's how intense the game.
Okay, I have one more name.
All right, go.
Marlo.
You said kill's not an option.
No,
kill is not an option.
Absolutely not.
You need to answer that one.
You said you wanted to play.
You're writing another book after this, Gareth. I want an answer on that.
Hell no. In fact, I have not thought about her for like years. You have to bring up that.
Smash or marry.
Let's talk about your gran. Okay, your own gran. Smash or marry your gran. How's that, bitch?
Oh, yeah.
Flip the script. So that's how guests usually respond on the show.
I like it. You make them uncomfortable. It's
very
good.
We bring them out of the show.
And we've got a lot of positive response with the whole gay aspect because, you know, we have a lot of...
You're an LGBT activist, right?
Not an activist, no, guys. I wouldn't put it as an activist.
Member.
I'm just a member. You know, I'm not out
you
there
guys, you don't have a
agenda.
You don't have a meeting, like, with all the others.
No!
So you made yourself a member and therefore you're an activist, if you ask me. Nothing wrong with that.
20,000
followers. Yeah, you know, so we're getting a good response from especially for the rappers because they're quite, you know, sensitive about the matter.
Candace, what about what you do the rest of the time?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, what's your normal day job?
So I'm in marketing, so I'm a marketing professional.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as the best in the industry. I'm right. joking, literally, no, I'm no, just no. super average.
Are we working in a particular...
Okay, I used to be in banking.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, I'm sure, I mean... Look at me, really. Okay. All this energy. So people got bored really quickly, so now I just freelance and try to not get people bored.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you do?
What do I do? Day job. This is my day job. This is me.
So literally everyone always wonders, like, Gareth, what do you do when you go home? What's
home?
The process?
I've built a laboratory at home.
Yeah.
I've got a chemical laboratory, an inorganic chemical laboratory. I've got so many books that... There is no space for them anymore. I have a dog. I watch a bit of series.
Yeah.
I'm watching Billions season 3 at the moment.
And how are you finding
that's
is it fabulous?
Series. Yeah. Fantastic series.
And I spend a bit of time with the family. I got two nephews. That's enough.
That's quite interesting. Yeah. That's a nice life.
Yeah,
simple life.
What's happening in the lab, though?
Are
you cooking meth?
No. Inorganic chemistry. See,
I don't know.
I need a doctor to help me out. So, inorganic chemistry. So what I did was I was synthesizing sulfur trioxide yesterday. Out of P2O5, which
you
is
lost
actually
me. P4O10, you lost me. I completely shut down.
And concentrated sulfuric acid.
Why?
Because
you want to learn about the stuff we're all made of. You want to know what kind of chemistry we all consist of the 118 elements on the periodic table. Absolutely. I'm interested in all of them except carbon. I mean, I'm interested in carbon, but carbon means organic chemistry. So everything in the universe is made of these things. I want to know how they work, how they react, what they look like in their pure state, whether they're solids, liquids, gases, whether they're reactive or not, whether they give or take electrons. This stuff fascinates me. It's got nothing to do with my work.
What's your formal profession? Education?
I studied law. Mm-hmm. Never finished it, though.
Yeah.
And then I ended up doing international politics and history, and I read a lot. So.
And now you have a thing for the science.
No, I've always had a thing. Since I was 14, I've been interested in science, music.
That's an interesting aspect. People don't know this about you.
History. Yeah.
Breaking news on the urban culture drive.
I would never. I mean, science, I failed science flat on my ass. And it's just like.
Dude, he lost me at lab. I just heard lab. Meth.
Listen, I'm curious. To answer your question, the best answer is I'm interested in the world. I'm interested in everything. That's why I'm interested in human psychology and in history and in astronomy. There's so much that's going on around us. That's why I want to live forever. You can learn a little bit about everything. Why the hell not?
Makes sense why your opinions are so well informed.
Well, sometimes.
So if you were to give us like two or three thoughts about, look, you know, what you should do or shouldn't do when you turn 40. Just give me the first three things.
Don't turn 40. Kill yourself. Kill yourself before you turn 40. There's my best advice.
So when is your suicide attempt coming?
No, I got through it. And I've never been suicidal. The one thing I've got is a very strong survival instinct.
Okay.
Things would have to go so horribly wrong. I mean, you'd have to cut off all four of my limbs.
But you're right.
I have to be.
Never turn 40.
You're able to recover so well from your scandals. It's admirable. I mean, teach Kanye West.
I want to live forever and I want to know about the world. And I don't really care about what people think of me, which is, I think, safe. Because if you really feel that way, it's a great existence. You spend
There's
your whole
no
time.
Limits.
Yeah, you spend your whole time making life interesting and fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel. All right. Thank you, Yulot.
Thank you so much.
See you guys. The Urban Culture Drive, they're on this afternoon.
No,
sorry. It's Friday. So Monday.
Monday to Thursday, 4 to 6.
That's right. For Kelman over the course of the next month. Very nice. All right. Urban Culture Drive. Thank you, Job. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Craig. Thank you so much, Candace. Nice to meet you guys properly on the show this morning. It's time for George Meany to give us a couple of headlines in motoring. I was wondering if you were even coming, George. I started getting a little concerned.
Yeah, no, I was too.
Were you in traffic?
Frickin' hell. You have no idea. Well, it's good for business, I suppose.
Well, it's your business, yes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
The more cars there are on the roads, the better for the
better.
Economy.
Yeah, but it was all Marlboro Drive off-ramp. Yeah, they were holding up the bloody place.
All right.
But anyway.
What do we got today?
So, did you know that Standard Insurance doesn't cover riots? So all of these riots going on and...
Moy River.
Standard Insurance doesn't cover your car getting damaged through a riot. So there is a government insurance called SASRI. You've probably heard of it.
Yes.
SASRI Insurance. It's the only insurance that covers riot damage.
So we should all take some of that out.
You should check that you got it. Because these things are happening more frequently.
Yeah. And then looting and fires and tires in the road. And
the actual clause says this policy does not cover the loss or damage to property related to or caused by civil commotion, labor disturbances, riot, strike, lockout, or public disorder, or any act or activity which is calculated or directed to bring about any of the foregoing. That's what every insurance contract has.
So that's pretty much every day in South Africa. It's quite scary.
So go and check that you have SASRIA cover, because SASRIA cover is important.
SASRIA. Who would ever have thought?
SASRIA.
Bloody hell, we're not covered by that?
No.
Huh.
No. No insurance company.
So if you find yourself in a service delivery protest and your car gets damaged,
unless you have surgery, you're not covered.
Jesus. Okay, that's a very big deal.
It is a big deal. It is an absolutely big deal, and I believe there's rioting in Eldorado Park this morning again. So don't get your car damaged unless you've checked your Sazeria cover.
Well, yeah, go and live in New Zealand. They never protest about anything because they don't care. Like, they could die tomorrow and they'd be just as happy. All right, what else?
Ever heard of the term holy cow?
Yes, sacred cow, holy cow.
Sacred cow, holy cow. Well, there's a holy Lamborghini.
What do you mean?
The Pope got given a Lamborghini Hurricane and proceeded not to drive it. So this car is going on auction in the name of charity on May the 12th, near to the Monaco Grand Prix. And the last time, which was last year, there were some 409 million rands spent on exotic metal Monaco. So this car is signed by Pope Francis himself.
Yeah,
and is estimated to go on auction for between 3.8 and 5.3 million rand at or around the Monaco Grand Prix on the May the 12th. And he will take the money and he's donating it to a quartet of charities that he believes in.
Wow, I'd love to see the Pope drive that car.
Yeah, I don't
know. Wouldn't it be fun to see him drive around in that dress of his?
Is it bulletproof?
Yeah, doesn't but I mean... You know what? There's that old joke about the Pope who gets picked up and his driver says to him, "Morning, Your Holiness," and he says, "Oh, are we going to the Vatican?" And he says, "Yes, Your Holiness." He says, "Oh, can I drive this morning?" The driver says, "All right, but you know, please stick to the speed limit." So they're driving down the highway and the Pope floors it because he's obviously in a fast Pope mobile, and he gets pulled over by the police. And the policeman, as he winds down the window, takes one look and goes, "Oh, Your Holiness, I'm so sorry. We didn't mean to stop you." And the other policeman calls this policeman over and goes, "Well, what the hell? You pulled that guy over and then you just let him go." He says, "Look, I don't know who was in the back of that car, but the Pope's his driver. I'm not going to find that guy." Right. So that's the story there.
Probably Thor.
Hey, have you seen Infinity War yet?
I think I have.
Gee, you would know if you had.
Yeah, no. I've been the last 3 weeks I've been watching all of the Thors because I missed some of them.
Okay, no, you haven't seen it yet.
So I probably haven't.
It's now.
Oh, is it now? No, I haven't seen it. I watched I think the second to last one.
I am so excited about this movie, but I digress.
Okay, so the Stig, you know the Stig, right?
He's a guy from Top Gear.
Yeah, he wears a helmet.
Weren't there a bunch of different Stigs?
Yeah, I don't think there was this. I don't think the same guy wore that helmet all the time.
But, and does anyone care since Clarkson, May, and Hammond are off the show?
Oh, did he not make it to the revamp? Oh, whoopsie.
Well, he belongs to the Top Gear idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. So what's happened there?
He took a modified tractor. Mm-hmm. The Top Gear peeps.
Yes.
Took a modified tractor and broke a Guinness World Record at 140 kilometers an hour in the tractor.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
Previous record was 128 kilometers per hour. This tractor sports a 5.7-liter Chevrolet V8 engine.
Wow.
They had to modify everything from the tractor's wheels to its brakes because most tractors only have brakes on the back wheels. And although this tractor is modified to do 140 kilometers an hour, it's still fitted with a rack for Wellingtons and a garden spade.
Yeah, but it looks like a very souped up special tractor. It doesn't look like one of those shitty John Deere's.
It's even got a wing on the back.
Oh, it's impressive.
Jeez.
All right.
So
well,
that's it.
Go. That's not bad. 148 kilometers an hour.
140 kilometers an hour. 128 was the previous record.
Jeez. Not bad. For a tractor, that's pretty damn fast, yeah. It's not great for plowing the lands.
Well, yeah, what do you do? Do you show off to your neighbors? Like, hey, coming to visit you. We're going to have some pie.
I know people in Boetaville who would really like a fast tractor.
They see me rolling. Creating.
Right. Okay, George. Lots to talk about. And we got a fresh episode of Auto Central up for you on cliffcentral.com. You can go and take a look at that. There will be more this week. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's Friday, so I hope you have an excellent day, and we're coming back with the UnNews next.
The year is 2031, and you just arrived at Lollapalooza. Yes, you are about to get your party on. But first, the security check. Here you're fitted with a tracking collar and searched for illegal substances like gluten, lactose, nuts, and things that were made in a factory that processes nuts. Next, you are funneled into the queue to the Pre-Festival Sensitivity Training Center, where you are issued with a whistleblower whistle to alert authorities to any misconduct. One short blow to report inappropriate words or hand gestures. Two short blows for unauthorized dance moves like twerking, dabbing, or waltzing. And of course, one long blow if someone makes eye contact with you while blowing on their whistle. It is almost party time. After you are instructed to stay in your pre-assigned area at all times, the doors of Lollapalooza open before you. You are in a safe space. The song being performed on stage was approved by a team of civil rights lawyers, nursery school teachers, and the global head of HR. You're having a perfectly safe time when the music is suddenly drowned out by whistling. Some troublemaker, no doubt tripping on macadamias, has wandered outside his pre-assigned area and is quickly dragged off by security. Party on, man. Party on. The future's coming, so travel before it's not fun anymore with Flight Center Youth and Adventure.
All right. That's a good idea. I'm catching a plane tonight. We've just got to let you know, because I did mention I'd give you an update on this. We've got a little winter garden that we've planted outside cliffcentral.com. It includes some stuff that's edible. And you remember, we spoke to Robin from Lifestyle not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's Lifestyle Home and Garden. They're the anchor tenant at Lifestyle Garden Center. It's the corner of Beyers Nordea Drive and Esterhout Avenue in Rand Park Ridge in Randburg. If you want to know more about what they can do for you, go to lifestyle.co.za. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. Well, we've planted some amazing stuff outside. I say we as if I've been involved. But
Aria and Aus Jane right. will claim that from in 2 seconds.
So we planted them in boxes, and it looks terrific.
Mm.
It's on our wall outside. So as you drive in and as you walk into cliffcentral.com, you'll see a whole lot of greenery there. In fact, I put a picture of it up on my Instagram account.
I feel like that's going to be the new photo spot, because usually people go outside just for the big sign. But now with the garden taking shape.
So here's what they told them. They said you could plant winter and spring flowering annuals. That's like poppies, pansies, violas, primulas, ornamental kale. Annuals are usually seedlings that only last for one season. Thereafter, they die off and you plant seedlings for the next season. But what they do is they add instant color. They're easy for the new gardener. They work really well in garden beds and containers and pots if you like pots. Plant spring flowering bulbs, which will come up in the spring. So you're thinking ahead here. And those bulbs are a huge favorite for seasoned gardeners. You need to know what you're doing, because if you plant them wrong, they might not come up in the spring.
I just like the term easy there. Because when you're starting out, you need something simple.
They've given us some other tips. Do you want to hear some more?
Okay.
So you can plant roses at this time. It's the perfect time to plant roses. You can feed your orchids now. You can get an orchid fertilizer from Lifestyle Home Garden. They've got a basic and easy to follow orchid care guide on the blog for those who need help in caring for those beautiful indoor plants. I've tried with orchids, and sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong. You can find out all you need to know at lifestyle.co.za. And you can also plant leafy greens in your edible garden, like Ben did. Lettuce, peas, leeks, oriental greens. They thrive in the colder weather. And if you're worried about winter, because a lot of people are concerned about frost, you can cover your more tender plants, especially bonsais and exotics. And those don't thrive always in cold temperatures. You could put Hessian over them or frost protection fleece before the cold spell hits your area. You've got acid-loving plants like camellias and hydrangeas and azaleas. They need a good layer of acid compost thrown over them and a good watering to ensure that they don't drop their buds. And you can also feed birds more regularly, because their natural source of food is lower in the winter months. So try to put out bird feeders with seeds, fruit or bread, and put a bird bath in your garden as a source of water for the birds. Buy some indoor plants to put greenery into your work and home environments with all the benefits and cleaner, healthier air that you'll be more productive and less stressed by. So there we go. A couple of tips from Lifestyle Home Garden, and you can go and visit them if you want more.
Yeah, and I'm actually on their website now, and all of these tips are on there. They actually have a blog which they update with all of these tips and tricks, so that's cool.
And you can check on it anytime you like. Here's the unnews, the stuff you need to know. Well, King Goodwill Zweletini is getting more money again. Though many question the merits of this, the king thinks it's a great idea. He says now that Jacob Zuma is no longer president, he's hanging around him more often, and that's expensive. He demands fresh meat at every visit, and he isn't talking fillet steak. More of Meghan Markle's family are coming forward to say the upcoming royal wedding is a bad idea. After a half-sister and half-brother made scathing comments, a drunk uncle has now come forward. He said Meghan is actually a big drinker and is set to become the new Princess Margaret. Up until now, the Queen hasn't cared too much about the tabloid nonsense, but she knows another Margaret will ruin the family, so now she's having lunch with Harry today to discuss matters. And tick-tock, the wedding's just around the corner. In other news, ASA, that's the Athletics Association of South Africa, is appealing the IAAF's gender ruling. They have to, really. They haven't had any good press in many years, so flying the flag for Caster is a no-brainer. But the positive sentiments were short-lived, as an ASA spokesperson then said Caster was truly one of the good guys in sport. Can you believe that? We will see you on Monday. I won't be here, but Ben and Mubs and Sia and the team will take care of you, and I'll be back on Wednesday.
I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, have an awesome flight.
Off to London. Very exciting. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
The year is 2031, and you just arrived at Lollapalooza. Yes, you are about to get your party on. But first, the security check. Here you're fitted with a tracking collar and searched for illegal substances like gluten, lactose, nuts, and things that were made in a factory that processes nuts. Next, you are funneled into the queue to the Pre-Festival Sensitivity Training Center, where you are issued with a whistleblower whistle to alert authorities to any misconduct. One short blow to report inappropriate words or hand gestures. Two short blows for unauthorized dance moves like twerking, dabbing, or waltzing. And of course, one long blow if someone makes eye contact with you while blowing on their whistle. It is almost party time. After you are instructed to stay in your pre-assigned area at all times, the doors of Lollapalooza open before you. You are in a safe space. The song being performed on stage was approved by a team of civil rights lawyers, nursery school teachers, and the global head of HR. You're having a perfectly safe time when the music is suddenly drowned out by whistling. Some troublemaker, no doubt tripping on macadamias, has wandered outside his pre-assigned area and is quickly dragged off by security. Party on, man. Party on. The future's coming, so travel before it's not fun anymore with Flight Center Youth and Adventure.
This is CliffCentral.com.